conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. Our program is produced weekly in sunny Sarasota, Florida at WSLR 96.5 LPFM, Sarasota's community radio station. Listen live on the radio, on the internet, on your smartphone, or at your convenience through our downloadable podcast at maternallyyoursradio.com. Our mission is to support our listeners in forming empowered families that create empowered communities. Each week we bring you evidence-based information for your journey through the childbearing years. We do not give medical advice, and with all subjects, we suggest that you thoroughly research your options and speak with an appropriate expert with whom you have a relationship of mutual trust and respect.
The voices you'll hear in the next hour belong to the Maternally Yours Collective and our guests and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of this radio station, its board of directors, or station management. The conversation may include descriptive language or emotionally sensitive subject matter. We respect all families and understand that it is up to each of us to make the most informed choice possible. We are Maternally Yours.
We are Maternally Yours. Maternally Yours. Welcome to the conversation. Your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. I'm Dana King, domestic goddess and mama to Elliot, cesarean prevention educator and maternal mental health advocate.
And I'm Ryan Stanley, progressive activist, lactation enthusiast, community radio maven, mama to Jude and Arbor, who's hanging off my breasts right about now. And I'm going to run into the other room and do some technical stuff. So, Dana, you know how to do this. You don't need my help.
Yay! So, in addition to hearing us on WSLR, maybe I know how to do this without you, maybe not, all of a sudden, I can't even talk. Okay, let's start over. In addition to hearing us on WSLR, each and every Tuesday, you can also hear us on WOL 91.5 FM in Bellows Falls, Vermont, KPOV 88.9 FM in Bend, Oregon, WCRS 102.1 and 98.3 FM in Columbus, Ohio, the Detour Network in East Tennessee, and Geneva Community Radio in the Finger Lakes region of New York State. So check your local listings for our time slot, and as always, find us online at maternallyyoursradio.com or on iTunes, or now we're also on archive.wslr.org. And we want to also let local listeners know that if you're listening live and you live in the city of Sarasota, you have less than an hour to get to the polls to vote in the city commission runoff election. There are also two charter amendments on the ballot, so no matter your district, just get to the polls and please vote to find your polling location and to see a sample ballot. You can go to sarasotavotes.com. So births in the news tonight, everybody. A New Zealand woman walks into a forest. No, this isn't the start of a bad joke. Really, a woman in New Zealand got lost in a forest and drank her own breast milk to survive. Susan O'Brien, 29, had taken a wrong turn during the Xterra race through the Rumtaka Forest Park. Authorities launched a search operation when Mrs. O'Brien failed to reach the finishing line on Sunday morning. O'Brien, a mother of two, was eventually airlifted out on Monday. She was quickly reunited with her family 24 hours after she had been due to finish the race. The first thing she did, after many hugs and sighs of relief, was feed her 8-month-old daughter. Holy moly. That would be terrifying. And also, a large new study published in the British Medical Journal regarding SSRIs, which is the type of antidepressant medication that's very commonly prescribed, and venlafaxine, which is marketed as Effexor in the U.S., found no substantial increase in the overall prevalence of birth defects among infants exposed to these medications in utero. This study, in addition to having a giant sample size of 2 million babies in 5 Nordic countries, also restricted the study population to women with at least raised two children and were able to conduct sibling-controlled analysis by looking at sibling pairs in which one sibling was exposed to antidepressants in utero. Lauren Hale from Postpartum Progress points out something really interesting about this study. Virtually no one is reporting on it. She said in her blog, quote, "We looked everywhere, considering this would be huge news to hundreds of thousands of women who are pregnant and unsure how to treat their mental health issues. It seems the media would prefer we continue to believe antidepressants and other medications for mental health are harmful." Well, hey, not us. We're not falling for it.
That's right. We'll talk about that. Anything you want us to talk about, friends, we'll talk about it. So, you know, we find these stories and we report on them.
And if you find them, you can send them to us and we'll report on them too.
So I'm back.
Yay!
One last little birthday news story. Another powerful earthquake shook Nepal yesterday, less than 2 weeks after a devastating tremor there killed more than 8,000 people. Dozens of deaths and more than 1,000 injuries are being reported. Midwife Robin Lim arrived in the area last week to provide aid to the region's pregnant women and families. She's been sharing images via Facebook from a teaching hospital in Kathmandu. If you would like to help, you can visit bumisihatfoundation.org or oneheartworld-wide.org. Those are the organizations that she's working with there.
What a mess.
Not fun stuff going on over there. So, like Dana said, if you've got some birth in the news to share, you can send it to us by email, maternallyyoursradio@gmail.com, or post it to our Facebook page, facebook.com/maternallyyours, for links to all of our birth in the news stories. You can visit our epilogue on our website, which is maternallyyoursradio.com. So last week, in a birth in the news segment, we featured an annual report from Save the Children called The State of the World's Mothers 2015. The report is a global index that ranks the best and worst places to be a mother based on the latest available data on indicators like political status, economics, education, children's well-being, and mental health, or maternal health, sorry. The United States ranked at number 33 of 179 surveyed countries. That's down 2 spots from last year.
Great, damn, that's the way we want to go.
Right. And we are the worst country among developed nations. According to the report, a woman in the United States faces a 1 in 1,800 risk of maternal death and is more than 10 times as likely to die from a cause related to pregnancy than a woman in Belarus, Poland, and Austria. Not knocking those countries at all, but...
No, not at all. But this is kind of shocking. Among other statistics, the report also found that an American child under the age of 5 is nearly just as likely to die as one in many post-communist Balkan countries of Eastern Europe.
So, on tonight's show, we're not necessarily digging into the whys and hows of this report, but we are featuring someone who, after spending decades in the U.S. maternal health care system, is bringing home lessons from his recent work in Africa, teaching obstetric and nursing students.
Yeah, that's right. Prior to his work in Rwanda, Dr. Washington Hill served as president and chief of the medical staff at Sarasota Memorial Hospital, as well as chairman of the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology and medical director of labor and delivery. He was also an active member of the Healthy Start Coalition, volunteer executive board, championing the important role that Healthy Start plays in providing a strong continuum of care for pregnant women, babies, and families in Sarasota.
So I had the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Hill last week in our production studio here at WSLR. He is wonderful to interview because I don't have to do anything. I just have him talk.
He's good at talking.
And I basically told him, I don't have any questions for you. What do you want to talk about? So, you know, he is amazing in that way. He just talks, and what he has to say is always interesting and funny and self-reflective. So he's a great guest, and in the first part of our interview, Dr. Hill gives us a little background on his work in Rwanda and talks about what's required of a person who decides to work in Africa.
And in the second part of the interview, you'll hear Dr. Hill discuss maternal health care locally and globally, offering some concrete solutions for combating maternal and infant death. So let's go ahead and have a listen.
I'm going to put my headphones on first so I can actually hear what's going on.
Roll tape, producer.
Thank you. times before, and hello to all women who have kept this going for whatever number of years it has been. I remember I saw in my email that you were having a fundraiser, so I actually woke up in Kigali around 11 o'clock and made my pledge. So it's good to be back. What I have been doing over the last 2 years has been teaching medical students, residents, nurses, patients about safe motherhood in Africa. We got there through the Clinton Foundation, USAID, the Minister of Health of Rwanda. These folk all got together to start a program, which is 7 years. It's in the fourth year now, to start a program to educate midwives and those providing care to women having babies and some not having babies on how to do it safely in Rwanda. Rwanda went through a very bad period of time 21 years ago, where they had a genocide. One tribe was fighting another tribe, and the government didn't do much to stop it at that time. And over a period of, I believe, 90 days, 1 million people lost their lives. Not only did they lose their lives, but then the infrastructure in Rwanda suffered, and therefore they did not have hospitals, the normal education, schools, colleges, medical schools, the normal things that we just take for granted. So the Clinton Foundation, and Clinton even admits that he probably could have done more during that period of time to stop the genocide and perhaps save some lives. But be that as it may, the foundation now was very much involved in getting doctors and nurses to go to Rwanda over the last 2-3 years of the 7-year program to improve the lot of women who were pregnant and those who were having babies and have children. And that's how we got involved. I retired from Sarasota Moore Hospital and decided I wanted to do something different, and this was different for sure. So that's sort of the background of where we are. The program, I was in the program, still am, program for 2 years, and every 6 months we could come home over the summertime and then around Christmas time. But it was very rewarding, and I would go back tomorrow if I could, just waiting to see when the time is right. One of the things that the program does is it takes healthcare providers in this country from a variety of universities, from Harvard to Duke. I went there through Duke to Howard, and trains them so that they can go and work with these women and men in a low-resource setting. There are other specialties. Of course, I was in obstetrics and gynecology, but there are other specialties there as well: internal medicine, orthopedics, surgery, neurosurgery, et cetera. So it was and still is a wide variety of people that go. The total number of doctors that go from the States varies, and nurses. And there are three groups of people that go: doctors, nurses, and administrators, all of which are needed. Administrators to run the hospitals, nurses obviously to care for patients, as well as physicians and midwives, which are usually nurses. Now, the number of people that go vary from year to year, because the contract is a year, and at this moment, for example, people are going over and people are coming back after their year. In terms of the breakdown, definitely most of those who went were white, minority were black, probably 10% would be African American. It was great when I came, was coming back. There was a nurse midwife who's there now from Howard. Many of the universities that I mentioned don't actively participate. It depends on who they can get to go, funding for them to go, who's going to work in their job here, when they go. So it varies from time to time, the makeup of the group. But it was good to see African Americans there. I do believe that African Americans have an advantage in going to Africa because they're of color. And the Rwandans probably will accept what they are asking them to do or collaborating with them because they are of color. Now, that does not mean that those who are not of color cannot do a good job, because many, when I say only 10%, are probably African American. So the other 90% are of other different races, and they do a good job. But I can remember saying to some of the nurses there and the doctors, I probably can get away with doing and saying and joking with them about certain issues where they probably could not do that. But all in all, I think most people were trying to do a good job. Now, in order to do this, you have to have a mindset that you're there to help the people that you're there to help. You're not coming on a big white horse and saving them from whatever their problems are. That's not going to work. We did have some individuals, both nurses and physicians, who could not stay. They were there a month, and for whatever reason, the lack of water, the lack of cleanliness, and McDonald's is not around the corner, I don't have what I need for my makeup, that type of thing. But and they also didn't have the right attitude. We're here to work with these people to improve their health care, to work with them. We're not here to tell them in morning report what you did last night was wrong, even though it was wrong. As you know, there's ways that you can tell people, hey, you did the wrong thing, or can we do it in a different way, or can we talk and try and get them to move in a different direction. So there were individuals who went and after a month or two could not handle it. And then this is a contractual arrangement, so there were some also who at the end of 6 months, their contract was not renewed because it was clear that they were not going to be able to work with the midwives, the doctors, the residents. They may have felt they were doing a good job. And clearly they were very bright and articulate and could share, but they couldn't share that information or work collaboratively with those colleagues. Cultural competency is very, very important. For example, many of the individuals who went, the first month they were told by the Clinton Foundation and others, don't do anything. Just listen. Look and listen, and it takes that long a time to build relationships, because if you can't build those relationships in 4 to 6 weeks and you try to do something, as you say, without that background, without recognizing what these people bring to the table, and we all bring something to the table, then you're not going to be able to accomplish much. And those who were able to accomplish a lot were able to recognize that cultural competency. Our country is not improving in maternal mortality. I just got back from the ACOG meeting, and clearly our country could do better. Now, one of the questions is, why is it doing so poorly? And that's a combination of many factors, some of which we may not even know yet. But smoking and pregnancy causes problem. Obesity is a real problem for kinds of, those are problems that we are going to have to try to tackle, whether it's here in Sarasota or in San Francisco. The bottom line is, wherever we live, is that all women want the same thing, a healthy mother and a healthy baby. And whether we're trying to do that here in Sarasota, and you all do a great job of it, contributing to it, or whether it's in Bangladesh, it's the same thing, that all people want the same thing, a healthy mother, a healthy baby, and we want a baby that's going to live for a long period of time, right? And we want a mother who's going to survive a pregnancy. So that's what we and others have been trying to do in Africa. And there were several things that I thought we could talk about of how we try to do that. One is family planning. There are about six, but one that I can think of is family planning. You can't have a maternal death if you're not pregnant. And people need to think about that. If you're not pregnant, you're not going to have a maternal death. And one of the problems in this country and other countries is that there are approximately a million births of pregnancies that occur, and a half of those are probably not desired. And that means that they could have been prevented, whatever the numbers are, pregnancies could have been prevented by using some form of family planning. Here, it's not so hard. We have agencies that will help us do it. There are some who don't believe or in family planning, or believe that if you offer family planning, you're increasing the rate of having sex. But you and I both know that that's not the case, having sex anyway. Now, in taking this to globally, it's still also very true that if they're not pregnant, they can't die from maternal death. They die from other things, but not from maternal mortality. And it becomes a little complicated because I can remember being on the postpartum ward, and a patient had just delivered, and the baby was there, it was breastfeeding, and so I said, okay, residents, what is she going to use for family planning? And I said, oh, we don't use family planning. The women have babies, and they don't use family planning, in spite of the fact that the government there had programs in family planning. So it became a matter of education, asking the woman about family planning, introducing her to what methods were available. Frequently they would say, I have to wait and ask my husband. Well, where is he at? He'll be here tomorrow, and tomorrow he's there to take her home. We need to be talking about this today. So gradually, in many countries, there are effective family planning programs. Someone always asked me what they most frequently use. They use the implants, and they use the IUDs. So family planning programs are there. They're working. They could work better. The midwives have been encouraged to ask the patients about family planning. The residents have been encouraged to do the same. We try to put an IUD in. There are studies now showing that you can put an IUD in right after delivery. Wonderful. Or we can put an implant in them that first 24 hours, because in 24, 48 hours or less, they're going to be back home. And the other thing I want to say about family planning is one of the reasons why these women and their husband and their families have a lot of children is because of the rate of neonatal death. If the rate of neonatal death in our country is high, you have six children, the rate is high, 50%, that means you have three. And you need children to work the fields, to help with the economics of a family. And they have lots of fields with tea and coffee and potatoes, etc. So they need someone to work those fields. And having children is very important in doing that. The other thing I must mention is when you see them work in the fields, they usually have a baby on their back. No question. And then they take time to breastfeed. So the first thing is trying to find. Second thing is breastfeeding. One good thing about Rwanda was that it's one of the leading countries in Africa, Central Africa, in terms of the number of women who breastfeed. So it would be, it's normal to walk into the ward and see them squeezing their breasts and putting in the little milk container to go to the nursery. It's normal to see them breastfeeding, whether it's in labor and delivery right after they've had the baby, whether it's someone postpartum, or whether it's outside. Well, those people who are waiting to come in to visit, there's nothing shy or taboo about a woman taking out her breast and breastfeeding a child. Now, in this country, we haven't gotten used to that yet. Women may not do it at all because she's afraid or concerned, or they put a towel, or what do you call it, over their breasts to do it. But one of the nice things about Africa is that breastfeeding is very high. Rates are very high. I remember being on ward one time, and the woman could not breastfeed. And I said, well, why can't you breastfeed? She said, well, there's no milk coming in. So I asked her, okay, what is she going to do now? And because they don't have Similac or Enfamil. And the nurse looked at me and says, we're going to give her some milk from a cow. I said, oh, I said, I didn't think about that. So they either get milk from a cow or they breastfeed. They don't use goat. They have lots of goats running all over the place. They don't use them for milk. They use them for goat brochettes. Breastfeeding was very common. The third thing is we need to do both here and there is do whatever we can to reduce maternal mortality. And we would be teaching, remember we are teaching medical students, residents, nurses. The medical students are going to graduate and then go out to the district hospitals. So the district hospitals will be run by those who have finished medical school, by attendings, and by older men and women in the medical profession. But those who are going to really change what's going on are the medical students. And we've told them more than once, you're going to be going out to the district hospitals. You're going to be seeing the patient who comes in from the village hemorrhaging after delivering a baby. Or you're going to be seeing the woman who comes in the back of a pickup truck having a seizure. Now, what are you going to do? And that was a typical quiz. And I felt strongly that if you can't tell me what you're going to do, if you're woken up in the middle of the night, and the pickup truck has a woman in it with a baby in her arm, and she's bleeding, what are you going to do? Then you don't need to graduate. And the Minister of Health would agree with us, because imagine in this country somebody who lives way away from medical care. That's pretty hard to imagine in this country, since we have urgent care centers on every corner. But imagine someone far up in the mountains somewhere, Tennessee, and has no medical care. That means that someone who's going to see her at that urgent center must know what to do. Now, the same thing is true for those in African countries and in other countries. That first level of care, whether it's a health center or whether it's a district hospital, whoever's working there, they're the ones who have to know what to do. whether it's an ectopic or whether it's a third trimester bleeding, whether it's a seizure, whatever it is, they have to know what to do. And that was one of the things that we spent a lot of time on. And we had to feel comfortable that if we're going to say you're finished with your medical school training, that you indeed have to be able to handle all those emergencies. Another aspect that Africans do a little bit better than we do is the concept of kangaroo care. And I saw your baby being taken out by the man in your life, and he was doing kangaroo care. And for the listeners, I think most of them know what a kangaroo is, and a kangaroo has a little pouch, and in that goes the baby, correct? How do we do kangaroo care? How do we get it introduced into our hospitals? Why is it important? What has the research shown? And there, the way it was started was, I believe it was Colombia. I'm sure it was Colombia. And they had so many babies and not enough incubators. Now we've got a problem. As I say, they had 20 babies and 10 incubators. And as some nurses say, six worked, okay? So what are you going to do? How are we going to keep these babies warm? And a professor had the bright idea of putting them on the mother's chest and swaddling them and wrapping them up. And that is how it started and how it has traveled literally all over the world. And in fact, I think in some of those countries, they do it better than here because our 20 incubators are probably working. And mothers don't have to do it so much, but there are rooms there. There are rooms there, and Sal would be on the outside of the door, and it's around the world. It says, kangaroo care. And you go and knock and go in the room, and there would be mothers with their preemies swaddled between their breasts and just keeping them warm. Kangaroo care is a way to keep the babies warm and reduce neonatal mortality. So I think that's something that we can clearly learn from the third world. The other point was teaching. And I thought about that this morning, and I said, well, you all, how long has the program been on the air now?
11.
That's doing the math, about 4 years, 4 to 5 years. And it's a matter of teaching. And you and I and the other ladies involved with Maternal Yours and those involved with Healthy Start know that we have to teach. We're not going to be here forever. We're not going to be here forever. In 20 years, I may not be here, but I certainly hope you all will say, gee, Dr. Hill did try as much as possible to teach. And I think that is what is important, that we be about teaching patients and parents, so very important, collaborating with them, teaching them about kangaroo care, teaching them about stopping smoking, teaching them about watching their weight in a non-judgmental manner, but still teaching them about those things. And that's what we were doing there. We were about the business of trying to teach mothers who didn't speak our language. Most of them spoke French, some spoke English, or their local language of Kinyarwanda. But teaching mothers, nurses, I got an email, I think last week, a nurse who was also advancing herself, said, we miss you. We miss some of the people who were with you because we're starting to slide backwards. You taught us how to take care of that eclamptic. You taught us how to use Cytotec to continue to stop bleeding, et cetera, et cetera. But now we're taking some shortcuts, and we're not getting the lab work like we used to on the pre-eclamptic. And I think a very important aspect of what we're doing is teaching young folks, patients, medical students, nurses, administrators how to take care of women who are pregnant, whether it's a high-risk pregnancy or a low-risk pregnancy, and therefore decrease maternal mortality. So I think teaching was a very important point. So I mentioned breastfeeding. The other thing that's important, and I think you can appreciate this, is we have to find a way to use technology to help us do all of this. I'd like to tell a story. I was in Uganda up on what's called Murchison Falls. You hike up to the top of a falls and look down, scares you half to death. But you see all this tons of water going over the falls, and you're standing right there as the river comes close and then goes over the falls. And I was there, and the guide's cell phone went off. I said, that's interesting. Everybody here has a cell phone. Everyone, not everyone in the world, but pretty much everyone in the world has access to a cell phone. It may not be their own, but they know someone who has one, or they have these internet cafes where you can go in and get a beer, a little whiskey, and a cell phone. So we have to find ways to use that technology. And in Rwanda and other countries, they are using it. And actually, the Gates Foundation is looking for innovative ways to use this technology. And it will go off and remind you of your appointment. Mary Jane, you have an appointment tomorrow. Here in this country, we get a phone call. Oh, you know, I have an appointment with the doctor, and you know I'm a doctor. They call you and say, we want to remind you of your appointment tomorrow. Okay, that's fine. But there, they text them and say, you have an appointment tomorrow. Or they can use it to list the warning signs of pregnancy. Now, wouldn't that be a good thing to do? They're out in the village, and they text them, these are the warning signs of pregnancy that you need to be worried about. Are you bleeding? Did your water break? Do you have a fever? Is the baby moving? And they're using that technology to say, okay, you have these things, then you have to go into the health center. Health center checks you out, may send you to the district hospital, which may send you to the tertiary hospital. But the point is, using this technology, another thing that we're trying to work on, in fact, at ACOG, there was a company who was doing it, is guidelines. Because these young doctors, they're in the district hospital, and they want to say, okay, what's the latest guidelines for treating hypertension in pregnancy? I remember something about giving some drug or magnesium, but I don't remember the dose. Well, they got a smartphone. They can look it up, eclampsia, and there pops up the dose of medication that is used. So, and there are other ways that we have to try to find to do that. They're using it in India. They're using it in Bangladesh. They're using it in Africa to find a way to use this new technology to help improve maternal health. I think that's very exciting. It's great. I think that clearly is the way of the future. Because, I can remember in medical school, and I'm sure you can in college, you go in and you see a whole bunch of books in the stacks. You know, they had all these books in the stacks, and they had this little card index, right? Remember that? And you go to the card index, and medical schools, and you go, and we had an encyclopedia in our house. I bet you there's not many houses now that have encyclopedias. I can remember going to door-to-door selling those encyclopedias. So now what they have is an app. So wouldn't it be great if we had an app where patients, nurses, and doctors at the bedside could say, okay, I want to find out additional information about XYZ, and I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I think that would be very helpful. And there are companies currently working on that technology because wherever individuals are, they have a phone.
soon. We have other guests in the studio.
Surprise!
Yes. So we're going to introduce them after Stop Talking, Sierra. So you're listening to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. We've been sharing our recent interview with Dr. Washington Hill. When we return from a short break, we're going to continue the conversation with Healthy Start Coalition Executive Director Sean Ewens and Marketing and Grants Coordinator Sierra Coleman.
Programming on WSLR is made possible by support from our listeners as well as Sarasota's midwives who welcome babies gently in both community locally with Kathy Matthews Home Birth, Birthways Family Birth Center, and Rosemary Birthing Home.
My goodness, I'm going to deal with the mic there for a second.
Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Tomorrow, Ben and Jerry's ice cream on St. Armand's.
Yeah,
we'll host a
Sierra will be there.
I know. 3 cone hour between 7 and 8 p.m. All donations collected support the Harvey Milk Festival taking place this weekend.
This ice cream's delicious, that's why. I'll be there too. You can, that's right. You can think globally and act locally with the Healthy Start Coalition of Sarasota at their very own Mother's Day celebration with a captivating luncheon featuring keynote speaker Dr. Washington Hill, obstetrician and maternal fetal medicine specialist. This event takes place at 11:30 a.m. on Friday, May 15th at the Van Wezel Grand Foyer. For tickets, visit healthystartsarasota.org/giving-luncheon.
And the Healthy Start Coalition of Sarasota County is also hosting their 21st annual community baby shower. This fun and extremely affordable event. Can't say free. Will be held at the Boys and Girls Club of Sarasota, 3100 Fruitville Road in Sarasota, which is Scatfest Road 1, on Saturday, May 16th from 10 to noon. Pregnant women and new families with infants up to 1 year are invited to attend. We have no birth announcements. Let's just keep coasting along. So, do you want us to announce the birth of baby, a nursing milestone? Do you have a free family-friendly event that you would like for us to share? Can't say free. Please post to our Facebook page, facebook.com/maternallyyours, or you can email us at maternallyyoursradio@gmail.com, and go get your new copy of Mommy Magazine, because it's out and it's awesome.
You're listening to Maternally Yours, the conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. You can find this in all of our recent podcasts on our website, www.maternallyyoursradio.com, where you will also find an epilogue including any resources and links we mentioned in tonight's show. Before the break, we were listening to Ryan's interview with Dr. Washington Hill, probably one of Sarasota's most famous OBs, by the way. Dr. Hill, I didn't get to be here, but I used to make your coffee every morning. Starbucks at Midtown.
There you go. So on Friday, Dr. Hill will be the keynote speaker at the second annual Giving Sarasota Healthy Start Luncheon. This year's theme is Thinking Globally, Acting Locally.
So joining us in the studio to talk about the event and some other exciting things that are going on at the Healthy Start Coalition of Sarasota County, which are many, 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 we have their Executive Director, Sean Ewens, and Marketing and Grants Coordinator, Sierra Coleman. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you so much. We're excited to be here as always. We appreciate you, ladies.
Thank you. So I'm going to skip that thing that I was going to
do. Okay, and go on to the next thing.
I'd rather us spend time talking to these ladies. And, you know, we're all going to see Dr. Hill on Friday anyway.
And we love talking to these ladies.
Yes.
That makes it easy.
So
do either of you have anything to say?
Tell us about the event, ladies.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well, our event on Friday, like you mentioned earlier, at the Van Wezel, and I think a really exciting thing that you didn't mention was at 11 o'clock, we're having cocktails on the bay. Yeah, so we'll have a Bloody Mary bar and a mimosa bar. That will take place at 11 o'clock before the luncheon, which starts at 11:30. And we're going to start right at 11:30 because we've got some very exciting things. We're going to be... We have Stage Door Preschool that will be coming in and doing a little performance before the actual luncheon starts. And I think a really exciting thing that's going on is County Commissioner Paul Caragiulo was going to come and read a proclamation declaring May 15th Giving Sarasota Healthy Start Day. So we're very excited to have that happen. We have two wonderful clients coming to share their stories on what Healthy Start has done to them. One in this room, which we're so thankful for you, Ryan. The lunch is a chicken vineyard salad. Of course, we have a vegetarian option, which is a vegetable tort. But we think this is the best part we want to share. The dessert is a roasted pear and wildflower honey croissant bread pudding.
Stop it.
It's going to be good. And we also will be having a wine service that is included with the luncheon. So, Sierra, anything else you want to add? Oh, and of course, you mentioned Dr. Hill. He will be doing our keynote speaker, and we're very glad to have him. We do have a little secret that we are going to be doing a special presentation. We are going to be doing a legacy tribute at this luncheon, so we're going to be handing that out to someone who has done a great job for Healthy Start, and we're really excited to do that in front of this wonderful crowd.
Yay! Your luncheons are the best, I have to say. So let's talk about tickets. We can't talk about ticket prices, but we need, you know, everybody needs to know where
can
they get
them. Right.
Well, we have them online on our website, www.healthystartsarasota.org, or you could go directly to our Eventbrite page, and that's just healthy-start.eventbrite.com. And we are very excited to announce that listeners of this radio program will receive a special 20% discount on their ticket price if they use the promotional code WSLR on the Eventbrite page. So,
awesome.
Again, that's WSLR.
Sweet.
Wow.
It's a nice deal.
Nothing like a coupon to supporting a great.
I know.
Awesome.
I love coupons.
So, you know, we want our moms to be well represented in the program as well. You know,
you don't have to be a mom. I'm bringing my significant other with me. So, you're welcome to. We all
have other
grandparents. We love grandparents.
We actually have a couple men's tables this year. So, we're excited that we are going to have a room. Of course, we love all women, but we're very excited that we are going to have some men representing our maternal and child health.
That's right. So,
fantastic.
You guys are also hosting a community baby shower this Saturday, and it's the 21st annual, which shocked me the first time that I read it last week. But I remembered that at your luncheon in October, your breakfast of champions in October.
You're going to make me tell the hot dog story.
I heard the story of how this baby shower came to be by a lovely woman. So who wants to tell the story of how this baby shower was conceived, this little baby shower was born?
Well, Jorita, if you're out there, hello. That is Jorita Stevens, is a very long-standing member of the Sarasota Kiwanis Club. She was on the original committee 21 years ago for this event, and the Kiwanis, being mostly male, I guess decided to serve hot dogs at the community baby shower. So when she took charge of that, that was the very first thing that that went. So now we have
wieners. I'm sorry, everybody. I couldn't help it.
Oh wow! How did I? So now, instead of the hot, well, we have the opposite. Actually, we have some great healthy foods donated by Whole Foods Market Sarasota. So this is on Saturday. It is a highly affordable event for pregnant women and new moms, babies up to 1 year old. It's at the Boys and Girls Club of Sarasota, and it's a free event. It's a community baby shower, and it's basically put on with the purpose of showing pregnant women and new moms in Sarasota County that we care about them, that we're there, that all these other organizations, we have 25 other organizations at the event, you know, they all care about these moms, and every organization that exhibits donates a raffle prize. And then the Kiwanis Club also donates our grand prize raffles, which includes car seats, cribs, strollers, some real necessities that, you know, I've been doing it myself for 6 years, and I've seen, you know, some really very happy people go home with, you know, that car seat that they needed so badly. It's pretty neat to see how the raffles all work out. But this year we've got some really, it's kind of exciting. We have some, I've kind of mixed it up a little bit. We've got my selfie photo booth will be there. Yeah, snapping photos. So, you know, I've heard people say, I don't never got a picture of me with my belly, or, you know, so I thought maybe that's a good way to do it and kind of a fun way to mark that time in your life. And we have Erin Ernst with her face painting, which is always a pleasure. She's a really great Healthy Start supporter. We've got Children's World of Sarasota is also going to be there this year. manning our children's area, and they're providing some educational toys and activities for the kids that come along with their parents to keep them happy and entertained while the moms can talk to the businesses and organizations that are there. So, and we've got sponsorships by the Mommy Magazine and the Macaroni Kid, too, who are helping us get the word out. So I just want a little shout out to them for listening. And that diaper derby.
Yes, I was just going to say,
We just had, and Whole Foods is donating the prizes for the diaper derby. So if you need a case of diapers, you can win at the diaper derby for crawling babies. So that's always a really exciting part of the event. And yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're really, it's really come together to be, it's our acting locally part of the thinking globally and acting locally.
Yeah. I mean, y'all are going to be like, relaxing in a hammock on Sunday. After two straight days of healthy starting it up.
Go big or go home.
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
So, do you have any ideas, Sean? Is this like an event that's kind of unique to the Healthy Start coalitions? Because there is a coalition of Healthy Start Coalition, right?
There's actually the Healthy Start Coalition.
Association.
Yes, we're the Florida Association of Healthy Start Coalitions, and there's 32 of us in the state. So we actually all get together and meet quarterly where we brainstorm or hear of other ideas. And actually, Sarasota is kind of known for doing our special events, and so I get a lot of phone calls from other executive directors, and we really try to help out and give them ideas. But yeah, I do think that Sarasota is unique, and our community is also unique because we've got such a giving, you know, community where we want to take advantage of that. And I also think that a lot of the other coalitions do baby showers, but I really think Sarah knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, I agree.
Sarah clearly knows how to do the ask, as they say. Oh.
Only if it's Ben and Jerry's can I
mean. If I need anything, I just mention that there's food there, and I've got her in a heartbeat.
She knows the way to her heart. My MO. Oh, and I should mention, too, for the baby shower, the first 200 families through the door will get an awesome goodie bag that includes lots of good things. We've got wipes and pouches and coupon books and kids' books donated by Every Child Inc. That one just came on board. Hi, Judy Alexander, if you're out there.
Yeah, you gotta love it, right?
Wow.
So, first of all, we have maybe like 2 minutes for one or the other of you to tell us what is going on at Healthy Start. What are you know, some other cool things that you guys are doing? You're not just fundraising; you're out there, you know,
in the community.
We actually, this has been a huge year of change for Healthy Start. We were mainly funded from the Department of Health. And so now we receive funding also from ACA, which are Medicaid moms and our non-Medicaid moms from Department of Health. So it's been a year of change. We're now getting earned dollars in instead of, you know, a contracted amount. So everyone's working double the amount they have, and we're actually serving more and more moms than we ever have before. So, like I said, it's been a year of change, but the wraparound services that we're providing and are actually our, you know, racial disparity rate is climbing. We're also doing a lot of stuff with safe sleep education and just everything that we're doing right now. But it's been a very, very busy year. And the reason why we have to fundraise is because a lot of our funding was cut, so we don't want to cut out any of the amazing programs that we're doing. We've got a Save My Life program in our Newtown community, and Beverly's running that program, and it's really making a difference to moms, but we have to completely fundraise for that program because we cannot get any government funding for it. So
it is crazy,
but we're just, everyone's working very, very hard, and as the executive director, I have an awesome board, a great staff, and we have phenomenal volunteers, so without all of those people, we could not be doing what we're doing now.
Yeah, as a client of Healthy Start, anytime I walk in the office, you know, I've worked nonprofits too, I work for one. You guys run a lean machine.
We do.
A seriously lean machine.
Lean cuisine.
Your star, you know, you've got like the star people, hello Sierra, you know, the really star players, and you guys, you ladies work hard. I want to let the community know that WSLR is one of your newest breastfeeding certified. You may
breastfeeding friendly Sarasota project.
Yeah.
I don't know. We got our little sticker on the door that says you may breastfeed here.
Well, we're very excited about that, and we're very excited for the partnership that we have with you all. We very much appreciate it.
Yeah, we want to make Sarasota a truly breastfeeding-friendly city, so any businesses or organizations out there, we've got decals, and we just do a really brief training, and and basically just an explanation of the law and how to treat a breastfeeding mother in your establishment respectfully, and and get a nice little sticker for your door.
So local businesses, listen.
And we reciprocate. We advertise for these businesses or organizations on our website, too. We have a website and a brochure that goes out, too. So we want to give back to the businesses that are supporting moms in Sarasota.
Yeah, that's great. So how can listeners contact Healthy Start about your services, whether it's just, you know, they have a friend who's pregnant or they themselves would like to take advantage of your programs?
First of all, we are open to anyone, anywhere. We are not an income-based program. We are completely a risk-based or needs-based. So anyone who needs our services, please feel free to call us at 941-373-7070.
If you want to call the program directly, it's 861-2905, and that will connect you with a care coordinator that can get you screened in and right away get the services that you need.
That's great. Okay, what else?
I don't know. Do you want to give the information for the luncheon tickets one more time?
Yes, that is a great idea. You can access our, go on our website, www.healthystartsarasota.org/giving-luncheon, or you can go to our Eventbrite directly, which is healthy-start.eventbrite.com. And remember that we have that awesome promotional code, WSLR, that will get you 20% off of your ticket price.
Put all the links and all that stuff up on
the social medias.
On social media, so everybody can get that in the epilogue as well. So,
indeed, I guess that's it.
That's it.
Tonight we're out of time. Who knew what would happen? That's all we got for tonight's episode of Maternally Yours. We'd like to thank everyone who makes the conversation possible, especially our listeners and tonight's guests, Dr. Washington Hill, Sean, and the fantastic Sierra, sitting next to me.
You can join the conversation next Tuesday, May 19th at 6 p.m. as we take a little break, Dana and I. We're going to revisit our postpartum psychosis episode to commemorate Maternal Mental Health Awareness Month. If you have questions for us or any of our guests, a show idea, anything you want to talk about, you can email us at maternallyyoursradio@gmail.com or post it to facebook.com/maternallyyours.
And don't forget, everybody, you can listen back to the show at archive.wslr.org. Playing us out tonight is Liz and Motley with, you say this, Ryan. What's the song title? Go ahead.
It's Cumbias de los Muertos.
Yeah, there you go. Next is Lost in the Roots of Hambone Willie. Peace out.
Listening to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. Produced at WSLR 96.5 LPFM, Sarasota's community radio station.
Our volunteer hosts, writers, and producers are Ryan Stanley, Laura Gilkey, and Dana King. You can find our most recent podcast at maternallyyoursradio.com, where you can also contact us with your comments, questions, and stories.
Until next week, we leave you with the words of Dr. Maya Angelou. When you know better, you do better. Thanks for joining the conversation.